Hey, it's Mastin. Welcome to the Mastin Kid Podcast. If you want to take your first step on your trauma-informed journey, come to claimyourpowerbook.com and get my book, Claim Your Power. There are a bunch of awesome free bonuses with that, including a 40-day coaching journey with me that will get you started on your trauma-informed path. Claimyourpowerbook.com. Enjoy. It's awesome. I put my heart and soul into it. And if you want to really start your journey to do your trauma work, claimyourpowerbook.com is the place to go to get my book, Claim Your Power, and to get a bunch of free bonuses, including free coaching with me for 40 days. Please enjoy today's episode. Hello, and welcome to the Mastin Kip Podcast. I'm your host, Mastin Kip, and I am the creator of Functional Life Coaching, where we discover the root cause emotional blocks that are holding you back from success. And I'm also the creator of Trauma Hacking, helping you turning your nervous system into your ally, and the best-selling author of the book Claim Your Power, and also a trauma survivor advocate. And this podcast is from my heart to yours. I'm going to share with you all kinds of different things, different coaching experiences that I've had with people, different parts of my life, maybe an excerpt from a seminar, different interviews with friends and thought leaders, all about how to get unstuck, how to hack your nervous system, how to turn your nervous system into your ally and really get the edge so that you can really live your dreams, live your purpose, and most importantly, pay it forward. So I hope you enjoy today's episode. One favor I have for you is this. If you love this podcast, remember to subscribe to it. And if you feel called, please feel free to leave a review, because reviews really matter, helps us spread the word and helps other people really discover this podcast. So if this was valuable to you, please feel free to leave a review and subscribe to the podcast. And if there's anything in this episode or any episode that really strikes you as an aha moment, shoot us an email to hello@mastinkip.com. Tell us which episode it was and about what time the breakthrough was in the episode, so that we can really know, because I'd love to hear from you what your aha moments are. I love hearing that, and my team loves hearing that too. So without any further ado, please enjoy this episode of the Mastin Kip Podcast.
So when someone says, if I can do it, you can do it too. No, you can't. Not unless you have the same environment, same constancy, same permanence. Who follows? That's why, guys, when we have a trauma-informed event, you can't just say, well, it's trauma. The systems create trauma. The environment creates trauma, right? The projects is very different than Beverly Hills. Very different. And this shit gets passed on generation after generation after generation. Best thing you can do for mental health and populations that don't have any is to pair them with people who understand secure attachment. Best thing you could do. Best thing you do to end poverty is to pair them with entrepreneurs. Best thing you could do. So when we look at your home, we look at your relationships, we really have to understand, what's your object permanence expectation? Will they leave once I finally let go? What's my object constancy expectation, meaning do I expect them to change or not? Do I have to feel like I have to walk on eggshells? And does our environment help us regulate, or is our environment dysregulating? And we all have expectations of this based on our history. Who follows? Does this make sense? And many times it becomes like, oh, that's just how it is, okay? So your internal working model informs if other people are trustworthy or not at a subcortical level, not consciously, subcortically, friend or foe. If you are valuable or not. If no one reached for you and no one met you when you cried out, you won't feel worthy. But it doesn't mean you aren't worthy. It just means you don't know how to feel worthiness. The difference between standard personal development and the trauma-informed approach is trauma-informed doesn't say they won't do something. Trauma-informed says they can't, meaning they don't know how to. You always do this, you never do that. Or you don't know how to do that with me. And I don't know how to do that with you. That awareness in relationship is huge. Who's ever seen someone act the way you want them to act with other people, but not you? Who's ever seen this happen before? Ah, this motherfucker. He won't do that with me, right? Or he doesn't know how to do it with me. And by the way, maybe I don't know how to do it with him. That's a new thing. That's an emergent property in our lineage. Okay? It's a skill set issue. It's not a choice. It's not a conscious choice. Okay? And whether or not you're effective at interacting with other people or not, how to leverage them or not, your expectation of them or not. Okay? If you're going to be pro-social or antisocial, everything we're teaching you, attachment theory, polyvagal theory, purpose, relationships, emotional regulation, the purpose of it ultimately is to have more what's called pro-social behavior. What does pro-social mean? What's pro mean? Usually not professional. Pro means for. Social is what? With other people, right? Not pro social media, okay? That might be part of it for sure, but pro social interactions, pro social behaviors, that's part of regulation and co-regulation, which is so vital because we can't get it by ourselves. People who are antisocial just have an internal working model that being social is dangerous. Are you introverted or do you have an internal working model that interacting with other people is overwhelming, right? And if you had an internal working model that could do it in a way that wasn't overwhelming, would you be introverted? I don't know. It's a good question to ask, okay? Also, helps us understand how we navigate comings and goings. This is so important. Okay, anyone ever have someone in their life that when you're leaving really tries to get you not to leave? I can see this guy like, Jesus, right? It's like, hey, honey, I'm going to the store. Okay, but 10 questions real quick before you go. Hold on 1 second. Real quick. Who's ever had someone like this in their life? Let me see if I show hands. Okay? So there's different types of approach or distance opportunities, okay? So if I'm avoidant, when you approach me, stress levels increase. Right? If I'm more anxious, if you go away, that's when stress levels increase. Who follows? Now, the funny shit is you put these two people in a relationship. You're fucked. Literally, you're fucked. I'm gonna quote Patty. I think this is Patty, okay? So if you're too avoidance, you can work it out. It's hard, but you can work it out. Two anxious people, you can work it out. Anxious and avoidant relationship, hell on earth. Is that your quote? I think that's your quote. Yeah. Hell on earth. A lived experience. That's right. Okay. So hell on, you put these two together. I'm leaving and regulating, but I'm also abandoning you and dysregulating you. Okay, fine. I'll come back out of guilt. And then you're all happy and that freaks me the fuck out. And I'm like, and then the anxious one's like, who follows? Right? So we have to realize that, you guys ever heard of intermittent fasting? Okay. We need intermittent approach or intermittent leaving. Right? So with an anxious person, you're like, I'm going to go. Best thing you can do is, coming back now! And just see what happens to them. They get so excited. Right? I'm leaving again. Go a little bit further away. But I'm coming back! Right? It's awesome. Right? And you could practice it for an hour, 2 hours a day. Right? 3 days a week, stuff like that. A month? Who knows? Depends on how much security you build, okay? Because the more proof the anxious person has that you're coming back, the better. The avoidant is different. You can practice intermittent distance. I recommend first interval about a year. Leave me alone for a year. I'm just kidding. So I'll give you an example. So I grew up in a household. My mom was bedridden for the most part and with back injuries in and out of the hospital. We had to be patient advocates in the 80s and early 90s. She died two times on the operating table. Doctors really traumatized her. Talk about medical trauma. Grew up with that type of stuff. But she was always checked out. She was on fentanyl for 20 years and benzos. The fentanyl stuff is what killed Prince. You know, opioid epidemic. I lived that since I was born. And she was not present. Not because it was her fault. She was in level 10 pain, checked out on opiates. So there's a lack of what? Maternal what? Emotional attunement. Who follows? Was I beaten? No. I love my mom. But that wasn't available. That's still traumatizing. It's not her fault. We've talked about it. No one had these tools in the 80s, right? Nobody did, right? The only secure attachment I had was like Big Bird and Mr. Rogers. That's about it, right? But I grew up, and my father was a scientist and really in his head and PhD studies and stuff like that. And so I became more and more and more and more avoidant because the more neglected you become, intentionally or unintentionally, okay, the more and more avoidant you become. Now, Christmas and stuff like that in our house, you know, we celebrated it. It was great, but it wasn't like a thing. You know, we have like dinner, some presents, everyone go do their thing before and after that, all good, right? Or my mom sometimes would be in the hospital. But it wasn't like a production. Then I met Jenna. And her family had a very different experience of Christmas, right? I remember the first time I went to her family's house for Christmas, I was like, yeah, I'll go, you know, we'll have dinner. Same model, dinner, open presents, I'll do my thing. She's like, what? I'm like, what? She's like, honey, we're together. I go, yeah, you and I are together, I know. And she's like, the family is together. I go, okay, like for dinner and presents. She's like, no, honey, for 2 weeks.
2 weeks? What the f*** is this bullshit? I did not sign up for this.
Okay, how many are there? At least like 3 or 4 of them? No, 13.
13!
Why am I feeling so anxious all of a sudden? I don't know. And without awareness, I'm like, do I not love Jenna? What's wrong? Right? And then we get to the house. Everyone's ventral vagal except for me. I'm like, I'm going to my room. I'll be right back, everybody. Be right back 2 days later. Right? I didn't realize that, like, I felt like, why am I so panicked in here? Right? Because I wasn't used to all that. And I wasn't used to people wanting me to be down there. So I'd be upstairs for 2 or 3 days. I come down, and they're like, are you okay? I'm like, are you okay? And that was the styles blending. I remember the first time I was like, honey, you know, okay, so, you know, you can be with your family. It's going to be really good. I love them so much, but I'm going to get a hotel down the street and I'll come over for an hour a day. How's that sound? Good compromise? She's like, that is not going to work for me. And I was like, oh, this is bullshit. And sign up for 13 people at Christmas for 2 weeks, right? Had to work it out. Now I've worked it out, which is awesome. We've worked it out, which is amazing. I've already pre-reserved the entire downstairs just for me for Christmas, by the way. I'm going to get there a week early, move all my shit in so nobody else can claim it. Right? But we're working that out. So I have more approach anxiety, and she has more leaving anxiety. And what's beautiful about this is if you can work this out, and the anxious and avoidant person has each other's missing piece. Because I didn't know what was good about proximity. I didn't know what was good about support and having lots of people there. I didn't know. And for people who are anxious, they learn they can self-regulate. Because this person's strategy is self-regulation, and this person's strategy is co-regulation. And the goal is self-regulation and co-regulation. So they actually have each other's missing piece. Who follows? Does this make sense? That's all based on our internal working model.
Hey, it's Mastin. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. And before we wrap up, if you found value in this, one of the best ways to get this trauma-informed information to the world, if that's something that you want to do and to be a part of, spreading the word, I would be so very grateful if you could leave a review on Apple or Spotify podcasts so that you can review this and hopefully it's a good review, but please leave an honest review. And especially if you want to leave a 5-star review, I would be super stoked on that. But of course, just make it honest. But my goal is to share more trauma-informed information with the world, and I need your help to spread this information, and reviews matter. So if you feel called to do that, we'd very much appreciate it. If you got value from this episode and from this podcast, we'd very much appreciate it. And thank you so much for hearing me out. And if you feel called, please leave a review on Apple or Spotify, and we'll see you in the next episode.